Welcome to the Bud's Beer Blurb podcast. We can be heard on YouTube, Spotify, RSS.com, and many other host sites. Just check our Instagram or Facebook bios to find our link tree, which will guide you to all of our listening sites. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook for the latest updates, behind-the-scenes content, and more. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for our most in-depth content. And now, here's Bud.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bud Esty, and I want to thank you for joining us here for episode 16 of our podcast. We have an interesting show for you this time. Everyone loves an underdog story. Well, I have a great one for you. I sat down with Bo Williams of No Coast Taqueria in Ellington, Connecticut, and we talked about his rise from a hot dog cart taco stand to his own brick-and-mortar restaurant. We have a little segment called Dry January Dilemma. You know, well, it's more of a skit than a segment. And we have one of my biggest screw-ups, but also a fantastic beer review. I'll explain it when we get there. For now, let's start with Bo Williams and No Coast Taqueria.
Hey,
Bo!
Hey,
how
you doing, you, man?
Good to
Welcome
see you,
to No Coast Taqueria.
Woo!
This is what we're working on.
This is gorgeous. I cannot believe the amount of work you've done here. I've seen the photos of the before and now the after. You've worked your butt off.
Yeah, a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and taco grease.
Well, give me a tour. Cool. All right, show me around. Where are we?
All right, so this is our dining room. I know it doesn't look like much.
Oh, it looks like.
But compared to what it was, it's a completely new space. We were really, really into the idea of slab tables for our dining room. As you can see, we got bowling alley slabs, which I think are way prettier. Each one is unique in its own way. We didn't want to take any of the arrows and stuff down. We wanted you to be able to see what it was before they were our tables. This huge high top is probably my favorite. Coming from the food cart to like an actual restaurant, we still wanted to give people that kind of intimacy of like an open kitchen concept. Mm-hmm. So anybody sitting right here can see all the fun stuff happening on the line, see the manic, the organized chaos that it is running a restaurant line. Our mural was another big thing. We found that mural and decided on it before we even had the restaurant lease signed. Pretty cool. We got the Simpsons arcade game, also really cool. We were trying to give the vibe of like a brewery without the brews.
Right.
Very family forward, fast service, fast paced, but still kind of time to like chill and right. enjoy the food. Lots of board games for kids. The bathrooms. Bathrooms were a shithole whenever we got the place. I know you guys probably don't want to see a bathroom. Who fucking cares?
No, hey, it's important to know that they're there, though.
Yeah. And then, yeah, here's
it's gorgeous.
The kitchen. This is my favorite. My wife did most of the decorating design of the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen is all me. So here's our kitchen.
Hey.
Yeah. It was a pizza restaurant turned taqueria. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So yeah, we're gonna slang tacos to the masses out of here.
Yeah, this is much different than the hot dog cart, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I've been joking from the streets to 40 seats. Because it's a big jump. We went from like 100 square foot of cooking space, restaurant space with our outdoor setup to now like 2,300 square foot. So it's a big jump up.
Wow.
We don't have a walk-in, which is kind of weird for a restaurant, but that was not in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the equipment in here was all secondhand. I got mostly used at restaurant auctions mm-hmm. around the state.
That's being smart, you know?
Facebook Marketplace. I mean, even after all of the repairs and stuff on a few of them, we didn't even pay 10% of the original like asking price on most of this, which is pretty awesome to build it out ourselves.
Yeah.
Some of the equipment came out of Mohegan Sun, which is kind of cool to have a little piece of that history.
Yeah.
But I am very excited about selling food out of this restaurant. I can't wait. We're just about to the finishing line. We're waiting on the Board of Health permit right now. They got to come do the inspection. We've passed everything else. Now we're just waiting on them.
So I met you at Labyrinth.
Uh huh.
This is what, maybe almost 3 years now.
Yeah, just like 2.5, 3 years ago. Yeah, it was the first season we had actually like started operating in Connecticut. We moved from Worcester to Connecticut, bought our first house, and kind of jumped right in the scene of the food trucks.
And when I met you, you were working out of a hot dog cart.
Yeah, so I actually bought it from a dude named Ray, who was the proprietor of Ray's Hot Dogs in Worcester, Mass. I think he was operating since like the 70s, and that was one of his original hot dog carts.
Gotcha.
So I found that on Facebook Marketplace at kind of the end of all the restrictions for COVID.
Yep.
And called my wife after I saw the listing on Facebook and was like, I need you to get all the money out of our safe and meet me at the bottom of the driveway. And she was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what did you do?
Right.
And I went and bought a hot dog cart that I'd never, sight unseen, like went there and checked it out and brought it to that back to the house and told my wife we were going to start selling tacos out of it. And she was like, you're fucking crazy. She could not, she couldn't believe I dropped that much money on,
right,
on some like dirty water dog cart, you know? Fast forward, we've done events at the Worcester Palladium for their outdoor concerts, have got to serve a lot of cool bands, be a part of the music scene, met so many cool proprietors and owners of breweries. I basically got paid to sell tacos and drink beer, and it's been so fun. So now, here we are. This is year five, 2025 is our fifth year in business. We started in, I believe, 2020. And now we went from a hot dog cart to a fucking restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, and you started it like during COVID.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing, in the legal gray area, if you will, infused dining experiences with cannabis.
Okay.
So COVID, I would come up with a menu. We would sell the tickets. We had this whole kind of COVID protocol. We were renting out a house, and we would have people meet us at a public parking lot. We would take their temperature with their mask on, make them sign a waiver, and then transport them to the undisclosed house that this dinner was happening out of.
Sort of like a speakeasy.
Yeah, yeah, but there was lots of weed being smoked, and yeah, it was a good time. So yeah, we would do like a 7 or 8 course dinner, and all of it was infused. Got a lot of momentum doing that. I've been a chef professionally, like forever. I've been cooking my entire life. I moved from Missouri to Massachusetts to kind of get my foot in the door and kind of clean up my act. And that was in 2012. And I never went home with my tail tucked and then kind of roughed it out here.
So any professional training? I mean, you cooked all your life, but
I am self-taught. When people ask me if I went to culinary school, I tell them I went to the Culinary School of Hard Knocks. I was trained by some crazy characters in Missouri. Worked my way up. I've always just been so drawn to food. Whenever I moved to Massachusetts, I had a buddy who was a corporate chef for Sodexo. I actually met him at a music festival out of my mind, and instantly was like, oh man, you're like my long lost brother.
Right?
And I was cooking. We kind of like got close because of that and met him randomly at a music festival. And then every year for like 3 or 4 years, he would fly down to St. Louis and we would drive together to the music festival, camp out there for a week, whatever it was, like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Shout out Gathering of the Juggalos.
Gathering of the Juggalos.
The Gathering of the Juggalos. Yeah. And I just linked up with a lot of cool people from Mass, and through that experience, I was always drawn to whatever it was on the East Coast, just the fast pace, even with me being from the Midwest.
everybody back home always was like, you're such an asshole. Like, you're just, you're such a dickhead.
Right.
And then meeting people for Mass, it's like, oh shit, this is home, you know?
They don't understand you.
Massholes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a masshole.
And that's one of the things that drew me to you. It keeps bringing me back to you is, you know, your personality. You are on the outside what I am on the inside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Both of us have just got a lot of energy and a lot of go, and I like that about you. So you're working this hot dog cart, doing your tacos, which, by the way, both times I saw you at Labyrinth, and then I saw you in Stafford Springs for OTR.
Yeah.
And both times, the food is just always phenomenal.
Thank you,
with
man.
You. Always phenomenal.
Thank you.
But I can understand that that's probably not extremely stable income.
No, especially for like seasonal work, you know, we only can operate really like 8 or 9 months mm-hmm. in the cold. Even though people want to eat tacos, nobody wants to wait outside in the fucking cold
right.
for tacos.
Right.
Like, it sucks. I don't want to be outside in the cold
right.
like whoring myself out. Please Sweet. Buy a taco. No, please feed my family.
Right.
So a restaurant was always kind of the end goal.
The dream.
Yeah. I've always wanted to have my own restaurant, especially within the last like 4 or 5 years, just kind of continuing gaining momentum
right.
with the hot dog, with the cart. And that's one of the crazy things. Like, with the cart, we set up and it was a very limited menu. But I think the reason that we excelled and kind of got the momentum we did is because it's from like a chef point of view, where it doesn't matter how good the food is.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes like you and you have the food at Labyrinth, you have this like kind of baseline of what it is. If it doesn't hit that mark, it's only going to hurt the reputation and like the brand image, so
right.
to speak. So to be able to consistently execute that menu
mm-hmm.
and it's the same flavor every time you come, I think that was definitely a big factor.
Absolutely.
You know?
So how did you find this spot here in Ellington?
I was doing pop-ups at my friend Josh Berkler's cafe. He owns Luann's Bakery and Cafe. There's two different locations here in Ellington.
Mm-hmm.
I met him at the first event we ever did in Connecticut at Ellington Earth Day.
Mm.
He saw what we were doing, hustling. I was using a commissary kitchen all the way in Mass.
Yep.
Still like wow. stay at like base of like my life base of operation
yeah.
is in Connecticut. So just the drive back and forth trying to do everything legally, it was a motherfucking nightmare.
Right.
You know, so Josh kind of offered me like, I have this huge new industrial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I might have room for you if that's something you would be into. So what our relationship kind of started as like, you can use the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
I'll be your base of operation. And then me and him became friends. He was a big supporter, big fan of the food. And I think it was like last summer, I was letting him try a special I was working on for a food truck festival.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just blown away. Like, what can we do to help you serve this food to like our community here?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of gave me the platform or the pedestal, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he let me take over his cafe from 2 to 8 o'clock.
Okay.
His employees would be done at the cafe at 2. I would show up at 2, set up my whole kitchen, whatever, in his kitchen,
mm-hmm.
had our menu, and would
wow.
do like a pop-up out of a already
yeah.
pre-existing thing. There were some times where it was so fucking busy, it was just like, what the hell is going on? And especially to like set up our operations in somebody else's kitchen,
mm-hmm.
that's not really what would be ideal for us to produce
mm-hmm.
at like a large scale. We still figured it out. We still got a lot of like fans out here. And it's from that I actually met a realtor who came in to a pop-up and was like, unofficially, I know of this restaurant here in town that's about to be for lease, and I think
wow.
that you would be a really good fit.
Yeah, the universe was talking.
Yeah. So here we are now. Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm gonna put up some photos of what this place used to look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so this is what it looked like before Bo went to work. And Bo, you did all the work here?
I have done probably like 75% to 80% of
wow.
all the work here. The other 20% is building the tables, making everything as nice and gorgeous as it is currently. The plumber, I don't know how to do any plumbing work. Okay. I'm not an electrician. Mm-hmm, I don't know anything like that. So, I mean, like, cosmetic, we had a couple of, like, construction crews in here.
Sure.
Travis from Cedar Jacks is a really good friend of mine. I met him kind of doing the edible thing.
Okay.
He saw this and reached out and brought us to this beautiful
it is gorgeous.
Establishment you see.
It is gorgeous. Yeah. It is gorgeous. You know, I know I said that your personality is what drew me to you, but honestly, you know, along with that...
I hope the food.
It was definitely the food. And,
yeah, man.
And so before we get to the kitchen, because I'm itching to get there, what is your timeline with this?
We're this close to being able to open. We passed our fire marshal inspection. We passed our building inspection. Right now, we're just waiting on the, like, thumbs up from the Board of Health.
Okay.
They've already accepted all of our paperwork. Mm-hmm. They know what we're doing. They've known what we're doing since the very beginning. They just have to come and inspect it and say, everything looks good. You need to change this. We don't like that. It's the minor minutia details that we're working on right now.
Crap.
And while we're waiting on the inspection from the Board of Health, there's a lot of like little finish work, you know, filling up nail holes, doing a little touch up of paint here and there. Mm-hmm. But all of the heavy lifting is done, thank God. And yeah, hopefully we are open to the public by the end of this month.
Right now you have BYOB going on?
Yeah, we did not have enough money for a liquor license to start. It's crazy expensive. The community that we are somehow magically a part of in Ellington is so great. And to highlight that community and all the small businesses, we want to try and support those small businesses in the plaza that we are operating in. There's a liquor store literally like two doors down.
Yep.
So you can get whatever beer you want to bring.
That's where we got the little sip of sunshine here.
Oh, yeah.
Plug.
So it's whatever we can do to support other small businesses is really big for us. And
so people can bring a beer in here if they want to. They can bring some wine.
Yeah, you can bring beer, wine, and Connecticut law says that you're allowed so many, like, servings of spirits.
Yeah.
So we have to work that out. But as long as you don't bring like a whole fucking handle of vodka in here or something, you should be good. A couple of nips.
Right. I was saying, you have something in the back that's like a Mexican lemonade, you say?
Yeah, it's called Agua Fresca.
Okay.
So it's our take on a classic Agua Fresca, which is just like fresh water. Mm-hmm. It's flavored. Each day will probably be a new flavor depending on what fruit we can get every other day, whatever.
Right.
It's a really good Mexican lemonade for the most part.
And if somebody brought a little nip of tequila?
Oh, that would be the best pairing ever, sir.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, anything else you want to add?
Come get tacos when we open.
Amen.
Come try tacos.
Well, let's go see the magic kitchen. And what are we making?
We are making something brand new, never been seen. This is our take on Papas Bravas, which is a classic Mexican dish mixed with a Lebanese dish called, I'm probably gonna fucking slaughter the pronunciation, but it's like bara pata or something. Pata bara or something. So it's garlic, cilantro, potatoes.
Okay.
So we're doing garlic, cilantro, fries.
Okay. So it's all done right here?
Yeah, everything's done right here. We'll do the spin, the little toss, all that good stuff up here.
What's in it?
So we are still testing the specific fries we're using only because we're limited on space to start. We're not cutting and doing all of our own fries in-house. We're going to use seasoned French fries, which are really good. So here's our French fries.
Oh, wow.
I'm hungry as shit, so I'm excited about eating these too, man. Let those cook.
Okay, I'm going to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to back up a little bit. Oh man, I love fries.
Oh yeah.
All right, and now what?
So these are gonna cook. Once they come out, they get hit with this. This is confit garlic, shallots, herbs, and some secret seasoning. So once the fries come out of the fryer while they're still hot, they get tossed in a little bit of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw in some more raw garlic and cilantro on top while they, like, while we're tossing them.
Right.
Gets served with kimchi ketchup. and smack sauce, which is, I don't know if any of you guys have ever had McDonald's breakfast bagel. There's a sauce on there. It's breakfast sauce. Okay. That's what they call it. It is crack. So it's basic. Our version of it is vegan mayo. This whole dish, vegan. Wow. Shout out.
Wow.
Try to really think about that. So it's vegan aioli, dill, Dijon mustard, citrus, a couple of seasonings. It is so fucking good. It's like a dill garlic aioli, so to speak.
All right.
Well, so those are cooking.
We'll let the magic happen.
Yeah. So this is our kimchi ketchup we're working on. This is scallion kimchi.
Whoa.
And
what's in that?
Scallions with kimchi seasoning. So it's like fermented chili paste, fermented chili powder. We're actually going to try and get these from an Asian market.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to have to deal with fermenting shit. But it's so good. You get that nice, like, kind of funky fermented flavor on it. Really good. All right. So fries are looking done. So we have the ramekin of the kimchi ketchup. And then we have the delicious. I'll fucking shoot that whole cup right now. Oh, it's so good. Fries are looking done. Yeah. Gotta use the seasoned fries too, man. Especially with that coating and a little bit of salt and pepper on them already.
Yeah.
Just as a nice base to use. All right. We hit it with this confit oil. The garlic and stuff isn't really cooked. It's at a low temp.
Okay.
So it makes it a little more aromatic.
God, you just grabbing that. You just pulled that out of the fryer later.
You got extra garlic. Hands. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, boy. All right. Here we go.
Oh, my God. That looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. Garnish it with a little
bit. Oh, that sip of sunshine is going to go beautiful with that.
One more on top. A little extra garlic right on top. And there you got our garlic cilantro french fries.
Out to the
Papas Bravas.
Out to the dining room with that?
Yeah, let's go.
Beautiful.
So we got the garlic cilantro fries.
Uh-oh.
I'm really excited for these to be on the menu. Mm-hmm. It's not every day you walk into a taqueria and they have some fucking banging ass french fries.
Never.
Especially with two different sauces that are made from scratch. So the white one, the whatever color that is. That's that dill garlic aioli, and then you have the kimchi ketchup. Please, let me know what you think, bud.
Kimchi ketchup. All right.
Kimchup? I'm going for the aioli.
All right, I'll go for this one first.
Come.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And if you're crazy, just do a little bit of both.
Ooh, hang on. I'm still working on this one. That's delicious. Crunchy on the outside, tender and beautifully hot on the inside. Oh, that's wonderful.
Not too cilantro-y for all the people who don't like cilantro.
Nope, it's balanced beautifully.
Kimchi ketchup's just got just the right amount of like spice on it.
This is the bomb. Oh my God.
That's our smack sauce.
Smack it.
Yeah, it's really good, right? That sauce is on our smash burger and a couple other tacos.
You're making burgers here?
We have a fucking smash burger on the menu here.
I'm crazy about burgers.
Yeah, it's a chorizo and ground beef mix.
This is amazing. And you just banged this out so fast.
Yeah. We're really trying to do fast pickup. It's all about the service. The food should speak for itself.
It does.
But even if it's mediocre food, from the second you walk in to the restaurant, we want to be aggressively hospitable for every one of our guests. We want them to remember the experience, remember what they were wearing as they took their first bite of a Grande Mac taco or our Papas Bravas.
That is amazing.
Bravo. Well done, brother.
Cheers, man. Cheers. Oh, here, I'll shake your hand. I won't leave you fucking hanging. Cheers, man. Lawson's, send me some shit, dog.
I love this dude.
I like your beer. It's good with my French fries. Holler.
It's beautiful. It really is. Pairs well. Man. You know what? I really appreciate you giving me this time. I really do. And
Bud, thank you so much for coming out, man. I'm so glad.
And we're going to sit here and finish this, but I'm going to say bye for now because I'm going to be busy eating and you don't want to watch it.
Once the camera's cut, I eat it with my south mouth anyway.
I don't know what that means.
My back jaw.
Bud from Buzz Beer Blurb, and we're in Ellington, Connecticut, at No Coast Taqueria.
Yeah! Can't wait to serve all you.
Every January, countless brewery owners find themselves in dire straits. As the taps run dry and the laughter fades away, they struggle to keep the craft beer flowing. In a world where festive cheer and holiday feasts have come to an end, these passionate artisans are left with nothing but dusty pint glasses and an untapped reservoir of creativity. But you can help make a difference. For just a single beer a week, you can sponsor a brewer, bring joy back to their workplace, and hope to their hearts. With your support, these lifelong craft beer enthusiasts can get through the hardships of dry January. Please, visit saveourbrewers.com or call to sponsor a local brewery today. Together, we can lift their spirits one pint at a time.
Okay, so I have a beer review for you, but first I need to share something with you. This is my, like, fifth attempt, maybe even more, trying to get this done. And I've had so many problems with this thing, it's ridiculous. I've had technical difficulties, I've had interruptions, everything you can think of under the sun has been happening. And my one attempt I had, I was trying to use a teleprompter because I got four breweries involved with this beer, and I wanted to, you know, give you a lot of information about it, but it was way overkill. And then I'm trying to read from the teleprompter, and it just wasn't me. I didn't feel like me. I was trying to edit it, and I was like, you know what? This is just ridiculous. I'm stiff and stressed out because I'm trying to keep up with the teleprompter. So I just said, screw it. I dumped that last attempt. So seeing this means I must have got through it finally. I have an excellent beer here. 4 Fours by Equilibrium, but there's three other breweries involved in this, and I have some notes that I want to give you a little information about each one, starting with Vitamin C Brewing. They are out of Weymouth, Mass. They also have a location in Plymouth, Mass, and they have been recognized by publications, the Boston Globe, TravelandLeisure.com, BeerandBrewing.com, I mean, just a long list. And all of them are saying the same thing. One of the best breweries in the area, you know, best beers out. And accolades like that are not just handed out without a good reason. So this has to be a very serious brewing company. The next one is Other Half Brewing. Now, if you know, if you like craft beer, more than likely you've heard of Other Half Brewing. They have 8 locations. They were founded in Brooklyn, New York. And they have a brewery in Domino Park, Rockefeller Center, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Bloomfield, Canandaigua, and Buffalo. Now, you don't open up 8 breweries, or 8 tap rooms at least, unless your beer is under high demand, which means it has to be damn good. So, another serious brewery here. The next one is interesting. It's Jay Wakefield Brewing. They're out of Miami, Florida. And they were a Star Wars themed brewery, which I would have loved to have seen, being the big geek that I am. But they had to close their doors. Now, they continued posting on Instagram saying that they're going to continue brewing.
So they're evidently moving to a new location, which hasn't been announced on their Instagram yet. But I have a good feeling about this place. A lot of interaction with their clients and customers, and they must just be a very good brewing company. So I have high hopes for them, and may the force be with you, Jay Wakefield. So the last one, of course, is Equilibrium. And they were founded in Middletown, New York, and then they acquired the old TD Ameritrade Bank, 4th Street, and they're an interesting brewing company. I like this brewery. I've reviewed several of their beers, and every single one of them was awesome. I've never been disappointed by this brewery. And basically, this brewery was born out of MIT, okay? They were working in MIT, mastering the science of water. They were taking the bad stuff in water out, and they were providing clean water for places like Haiti and, you know, even here in the United States. And that's an amazing story right there. A brewery born from MIT. But so these four breweries have come together to make Four Fours Double IPA. And this is a complicated beer. I'm going to read to you Equilibrium's description of this beer. Bear with me on this. It says, "We started with a heavy base of oats and wheat before the Idaho 7, Citra, and Citra Incognito Wool Brew. We then dry hopped with four of our favorite hops at levels never seen before, with Citra, Strata, Galaxy, and Zappa." That's a lot of hops. "A dense haze pours into your glass with aromas of tropical mango, orange tang, assorted berry, and grape drink." Grape drink. Is that like Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah. And
I've never been a big fan of grape Kool-Aid, even when I was a kid. Then it says, "Hoppy saturated flavors of dank mango, orange juice smoothie, papaya chunks, and green nerds candy are balanced by a hoppy bite of a giant EQ juice melon finish, bringing you right to your next sip." Well, there's a lot going on with this beer, and there's a lot of ingredients, so I want to talk about those ingredients for a moment. Basically, we'll start with the foundation, the malt. It's a wheat and oats malt, so the wheat's going to give you a nice, sweet, clean finish, whereas the oats are going to bring you a smooth, creamy mouthfeel. And so the foundation of this is really beautiful, perfect. Then they go on to the Whirlpool hops. Now, they used Idaho 7, Citra, and Citra Incognito hops, and you can see the hop profile, flavor profiles right here. Then they went into dry hopping. And it says that we used four of our favorite hops
at levels never seen before, with Citra, Strata, Galaxy, and Zappa.
And again, here's their flavor profiles. Okay. So they went into talking about a giant EQ juice melon finish. I had to look that up. What the hell is EQ juice? And Equilibrium describes it this way. EQ juice, or rainbow melon, is a term that grew around the brew deck to describe the magical escalating brightness and rainbow melon flavor profile that you experience in Equilibrium's hobby beers. Rainbow melon isn't a real thing, really, but it is our best guess at what matches this hop-derived flavor. And then it gets really fun from here. Ready? I hope I can read this, because this is insane. "This ongoing R&D effort led to the development of a system of differential equations considering EQ juice concentrations undergoing the multi-component enzymatic pathways sorption, changing substrate concentrations, yeast growth, and yeast settling. This system of equation is solved to better understand the EQ juice production and maximization. Does that sound like MIT students, right? Oh, that's insane. So, what I think EQ juice is, a lot of breweries have a base wort recipe. You know, they make the same thing over and over again. And then from there, the brewer can add different, you know, hops to create different flavors. And they can, you know, add it at different times. They can add it at the whirlpool during, you know, dry hopping, during fermentation. They can also add, you know, other ingredients, you know, spices. They can add fruit puree, marshmallow powder, breakfast cereal, you name it, they can add it. I knew one brewery that they actually added purple yams to their beer. Yeah, purple yams. They called the beer Purple Haze, and actually it was really tasty. I liked it. So, and that came from Almost Famous Brewing. So I'm kind of guessing that that's what EQ juice might be. They may have a base wort recipe, and then from there, they're adding their hops. Probably they use Citra a lot, and that's where we're getting this EQ juice. Again, that's a educated guess. It's not straight from the MIT educated, you know, unicorn's mouth. Because they describe it that way, as unicorns and rainbows. The other thing I want to mention about this beer is that it has an 8.5 ABV, and I love that. I like the taste of alcohol in my beer. I really do. I like to know that beer has a little bit of a kick to it, and that's how I enjoy it more. So let's get to my favorite part, tasting and reviewing this beer. So let's first see what the nose says. Oh, nice. All right. Okay, well, very, very sweet. A lot of pineapple, mango, citrus like crazy. It smells amazing. Yeah, some apricot in there. Some mango. Yeah. This smells awesome. Look at that head on that thing too, huh? That's beautiful. Color's probably about an SRM7, somewhere in that zone. But yeah, smells and looks delicious. So let's give it a taste. I have to admit, because this is my fifth attempt at making this video and doing this review, that I have tasted this beer already. But each time I taste it, it's an explosion of flavor. It has a little dank up front, but it's like an orange rind. And it's also extremely sweet at the same time. That pineapple, melon, mango just bursts forth. Oh man, that's so good. It's so sweet and yet tangy at the same time. You know, they mentioned green nerds. I'm not a candy eater. I don't sit around crunching down nerds, so I actually had to look those up. And according to nerds, the green ones taste like watermelon. Maybe that's kind of where a melon flavor is coming from. I don't know. But this... that 8.5 is hidden so well. It is blended in so nicely. It's there, but it's not like taking over all the flavor. It kind of hits the back of the throat. Yeah, that's really nice. All the breweries involved with this, all four of you, great job. Wonderful beer. I love it. And I'm going to give this beer 4.75. Yeah. Fantastic beer, guys. Thank you so much. All right. I did it. I finally got through it. All right. This is Bud signing off.